other specific issue, the Nebi Yehuda, we have a sefer from him called the Drushas Haslach. He wrote, Nebi Yehuda wrote a sefer called Nebi Yehuda. His father's name was Yehuda.
Okay.
His name is Rabbi Yechezkel Landau.
Okay.
So he named his father's sefer, one sefer after his father, Nebi Yehuda.
Okay.
He wrote a sefer on Shas called Tzion LeNefesh Chaya. His mother's name was Chaya.
Ah.
So he wrote a sefer Tzion. Tzion is like a Tzion is a memorial for the Nefesh Chaya for the. Both of them are puns on Sukkim. So we have a collection of drushes that he said. Mm-hmm. In the Sefer Tzlach called Drushas Tzlach. Tzlach is Rosh HaTevis of Tzion LeNefesh Chaya. So the Tzlach is he's known as the Sefer is known as the Tzlach. So we have drushes from the Nebi Yehuda. So he divided up his drushes to saying an interesting pilpul type of back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had practical halacha. So one of the practical halachas that he says is he finds it very interesting how people do things which are really the opposite, almost like exactly the opposite of what halacha would require of a person. So he gives an example. So the halacha is that we have a rule when you make a bracha on a mitzvah, you cannot interrupt between the bracha and the mitzvah.
Right.
The vast majority of mitzvahs that we do, the order is bracha, mitzvah. A person makes a bracha on the lulav, and then he shakes the lulav. A person makes a bracha on the tefillin, he tightens the tefillin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A person makes a bracha on the talis, and then he wraps himself in the talis.
Right.
There are a few exceptions where we do the mitzvah and then we do the bracha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One example is a woman lights the neiros Friday night. She first lights and then she makes the bracha. The reason why that's so is because according to the Bahag, mm-hmm. when you make the bracha, we consider that you've accepted Shabbos,
mm-hmm.
so you could not light afterwards.
Right.
Because you're saying a bracha on Shabbos. Well, it's not Shabbos yet. Well, I just said Shabbos, so now it's Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't light. Mm-hmm. So we say the bracha afterwards. Similarly, we seem to make the bracha after we wash our hands for Hamotzi.
Mm-hmm.
The other place where we find this idea is that a woman goes to the mikveh. What she does is she goes into the mikveh. Men don't make a bracha on the mikveh nowadays. It's not a chiyah for them to go to the mikveh, just like a nice thing, etc. When Mashiach comes and we want to go into the Beis HaMikdash, etc., when the halachas of Tumah Tahara, men will be making a bracha on the mikveh just like women will.
Okay.
So, what's the right order?
Right.
So the right order for making the bracha is that the standard way we do it is a woman goes into the water, she immerses herself once. She comes up and she makes the bracha. She makes the bracha after the immersion.
Okay.
Okay, so that's very interesting. The mitzvah is to immerse. Some women have a minute to immerse a second time, but the second immersion doesn't really do anything. Once you've been
right,
become purified through the mikvah, the second one is just like, I have a red one that counts.
Thank you.
My blue one died. So really the Iker Tevila the woman does is the first one. The second one is just a minute. Mm-hmm. So you can't make a bracha on the minute. You're not making a bracha on the second Tevila. You're making a bracha on the first Tevila, even though you're making the bracha afterwards. So how do you understand that idea that we're making bracha afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
So by Shabbos we said there's a specific reason. What's the reason over here we make the bracha afterwards? So there is a Tosfos. And there's a Gemara in Psachim and Daf Zayin Rabbeis. The Gemara says that in general you always have to make a bracha on the mitzvah before you do the mitzvah. Kol mitzvah is mevorach alein over lasiyah. So you do the bracha before you do the mitzvah. Amar chizuk chutz min atvilah bilvad. The only exception is tevilah, going to the mikvah. And he brings a brisa. It says Taval v'Ola. Person goes in the mikvah. He comes out. But he also Omer. When he comes, as he comes out, he makes the bracha. Shir kedushal b'mitzvah v'tzivanu ala tefila. Okay. So that's the Gemara. So the Gemara is pretty straightforward. You make the bracha on the tefila afterwards. Comes along Tosfos. Tosfos says, what tefila are we referring to? So there is potentially Tosfos says there can be multiple areas where a person is Taval. One of them is the tefila of person who's tameh who has to become tor. There's another halacha tefillah when a person becomes a ger. Mm-hmm. So Tosfos says that the Rebbeinu Chananel said this is referring to tefillah hager. Now tefillah hager, this gemara makes a lot of sense. There's no way that we can make a bracha that the ger is not Jewish before the tefillah. So you can't say Asher Kedushah Ben Sosavet Tzivonu Al Tefillah when he's not chayiv in the tefillah yet. Mm-hmm. So you can't say Vitzivonu. Hashem commanded us. Excuse me. Who are you? Not us. You're not us yet. There's no command yet. Mm-hmm. Right. So how can you make a bracha on the tefillah? So by the ger, the bracha has to be said afterwards. Mm-hmm. But by all other tefillos, mm-hmm. it was said beforehand. The Torah says 1 second. You're going to ask me a question that we know there's a Gemara in Masechta Brachos that even though any person who's tamei has the right to daven and say brachos etc., there's one exception, and that's a person who's a bal keri. Mm-hmm. The Mishnah there says a person who's a bal keri is not allowed to learn, not allowed to daven until he goes to the mikvah. So he can't make the bracha until he goes to the mikvah. Mm-hmm. So it says that's machlokes tanoim. Mm-hmm. We don't paskin like that opinion. We paskin, our minhag is that even if bal keri is allowed to daven, allowed to learn, allowed to say brachas, etc. So even a person with bal keri goes to the mikvah, he makes the bracha beforehand. Tosfos then continues and says, however, Alpha became armor re. Even so, the re said, the ein ligor ben noshim shemavarchas achara tefila. We cannot be angry at the women who their minhag is, they make the bracha after the tefila. I just told you that this every mitzvah, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, you make the bracha first. The one exception is tefillah's ger. Some lady came along and said, well, the ger does, I should do it too. You say, lady, stop it. It's ridiculous. You don't have to do this. We should explain to them. We should yell at them. We should stop them. Whatever. No. You don't have to do that. Why? Because since we see by tefillah that we allow the ger to make the bracha afterwards, so once that's true by one type of tefillah, we allow by another type of tefillah also, that a person can say the bracha afterwards. Then Tosfos then says, "V'chemin tefillas yadayim." So we were making a bracha on the tefillas yadayim. The person goes to the bathroom, his hands aren't clean, you can't make a bracha. So that would be like the case of the ger. You can't make the bracha before you wash your hands. So in that scenario, the bracha has to be said afterwards. So even in a scenario in which I'm washing for a meal, my hands aren't specifically dirty, and really I could make the bracha beforehand. But since in one scenario, i.e. after the basic kisa, I must say the bracha afterwards. So in all scenarios, we're going to allow until sidayim the bracha to be said afterwards. Okay? Then, Tosfos suggests another argument. We'll get to that in a second. Okay? So now, we know that when you make a bracha beforehand, there's a halacha of you're not allowed to interrupt between the bracha and the mitzvah. What about a scenario when you make a bracha afterwards? We're saying that these cases are unique, that we're going to allow the bracha to be said after the mitzvah as opposed to before the mitzvah. So comes along the tzlach, the Bechesko Landel, the Nabi Yehuda, and he says, even though we're going to allow the bracha to be said afterwards, or actually going to require the bracha afterwards, but the rule of not interrupting between the bracha and the mitzvah still is true. Mm-hmm. So what's going to be different and unique is that in most mitzvahs you make the bracha and make sure you don't talk and interrupt between the bracha and the mitzvah. Here it's all the way around. Do the mitzvah and make sure you don't talk between the mitzvah and the bracha. Because mm-hmm. the order is flipped. But the rule of not interrupting doesn't change. Mm-hmm. The same way we want you to make the bracha has to be said on the mitzvah, and we consider that very significant. For example, if a person makes the bracha and before he does the mitzvah he talks, he has to make the bracha again. So speaking totally invalidates the bracha. It's an interruption between the bracha and the mitzvah. So similarly, the tzlach says if the person does the mitzvah and then interrupts between the mitzvah and the bracha, you can't make the bracha anymore. You lost your bracha. Mm-hmm. So that's so now he says you will watch many people who go to wash their hands, and as they're washing their hands, they're talking, and they continue talking, and then they make the bracha. Mm-hmm. Totally against the halacha. Right? You can't interrupt mm-hmm. between. Now, when does the mitzvah start? As soon as you start washing your first hand, mm-hmm. the brachas go back in both hands. So as soon as you put that first little bit of water on your hands, you're not allowed to talk. Because you're in the middle of doing the mitzvah, which you cannot interrupt until the mitzvah and the bracha. Mm. And people talk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one hand. Now what about the other hand? You finished washing your hands. You made the bracha, you dried your hands. And you sit down at the table and you're waiting to say amoitz. Are you allowed to talk at that moment? No, you're not allowed to talk then. You can't talk then. If you talk, so really go wash your hands again and make a bracha. The love is you're allowed to talk then. Once you've washed your hands, said the bracha, dried your hands, between that and the hamotzi, it's actually machloek is when you're allowed to talk. Hmm. And we passed the meter, then you're allowed to talk. So he says, people are much backwards. Where the lach is, you're allowed to talk. People say, chas v'shalom, you're allowed to talk. Where the lach is, you're not allowed to talk, people talk. He says, people are really strange. So there's a siman called Kuf Samach Vav. It's one sif long, two lines. Some say, you don't have to care about interrupting between the washing and the hamotzi. It's a tzarech lizoyer. It's good to be careful. Good to be careful means it's not required.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the Shabura brings that the Zohar Kaddish says a person should daven then. So what's the problem over here? The problem is this. Mikir Adin, there's no halach of hefsek. This is not a mitzvah. There's no halach of hefsek. What is the issue? Person washes his hands. His hands are not clean. So you're allowed to eat bread. Once your hands, if your hands become unclean during the meal, the person touches covered parts of his body. It's not like he has to stop eating. No matter if he has to stop eating, can't swallow what's in his mouth. Person has food in his mouth. He has bread in his mouth. What's the basic? He say he has to stop eating. Can't swallow. So you better swallow before you go into the bathroom. You know. So your hands are unclean now. Well, why are we worried that during the meal the person's hands are going to come unclean? People's hands go all over the place. Well, I've been thinking, Rabbi Shimshon Pinkus Zichlur Bracha says a story that he's once walking with his Rebbe. I'm not sure who is. He said his Rebbe. I'm not sure who that's referring to. And they were standing for Shabbos. They were standing next to the gate of a fence, and he was playing with the gate. And the Rebbe said to him, "Wo dein Hand? Was tust du? What are you doing?" "I don't know what I'm doing." "Was tust du?" He says, "What am I doing?" He says, "What's with the hand? What are you doing with your hands?" He says, "In Shabbos, you have to have constant awareness of what your hands are doing, because if your hands start playing around like hands do, next thing you know, you'll be mechallel Shabbos." That's what the Rebbe told him. So why are we worried about during the meal? So Chazal said that during the meal, because I'm aware of the fact that I must keep my hands clean, and there's always a in my subconscious an awareness to keep my hands clean during the meal. But what about between the washing and the meal? So imagine I wash, I haven't started eating yet, so I'm not really worried about my hands being clean because I haven't started eating yet. And I start having this constant conversation with the uncle over here. And the uncle, talk about this, talk about that, you know, who knows what's going to happen to your hands? So therefore, the one of him says, you can't talk then, in order to prevent you from not focusing on your hands. Not because there's an actual halachic issue of hefsek. Because it's not a problem with hefsek. It's not like a bracha on a food that you can't interrupt the bracha on the food, the bracha on the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. The mitzvah you did, you wash your hands, mm-hmm. and you start a meal. Just make sure your hands stay mm-hmm. clean. Mm-hmm. So you want to take your hands and like hold like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe that would work. So the first opinion says, no problem with hefsek. Just don't get involved in a major long discussion.
Because
mm-hmm. then you're going to get distracted. Second opinion says, you know what? They said, you know what? Don't even do that because we're afraid you're going to get distracted. But it's not an intrinsic problem. Shemar positive. It's good to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
So if I ask you, what's the luck of a person sits down, washes his hands, dries them, says the bracha, dries them, sits down with a meal, and by the way, he said, good job. So what's the luck? Nothing. Nothing at all. You're fine. Just continue. He says, you have to wash again. No, you don't have to wash again. They're going to bracha. You're going to bracha. Nothing. Just be quiet. Just stop. Mm. That's all you got to do. There's an interesting halacha, by the way, connected to this, that having salt on the table. So, why do we have salt on the table? So we have salt on the table for multiple reasons. One is because we're supposed to have salt together with the bread. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that that halacha of having salt together with the bread only applies, doesn't apply to bread which is made from fine flour, and doesn't apply to bread which has salt in it. Most of our bread either has salt in it, it's made from fine flour. So there's no need to have salt for that. There's a Zohar which says that there's api kabbalah, a person's supposed to take the bread and dip it into the salt. Not pour salt, no, dip it in salt three times. One, two, three, and then eat it. Some people do that. But there's a third reason why we have salt on the table, because it represents the idea of the table's like a mizbeach. And by the mizbeach, there was a rule you had to have salt on the mizbeach. So we, our table, our shulchan is our mizbeach. And this is, there's a bris, Hashem made a bris to Klai Yisrael, he made a covenant to Klai Yisrael with melach, with salt. It's a, and the, so the Torah describes the act of putting salt on the karbonas as part of the bris melach. So we should have salt on the table. No, don't put it on the bread. Just salt on the table. So Magen Aharon points out that you should have it on the table since people are makbid at this time. So in Shemayim, there's a kitru. People are sitting over here not learning. They're sitting here just like standing like this, waiting for the hawitzi. Person says, yeah, but there's this bris melach. There's the salt there. And that, I promise, Klai Yisrael safe. So the salt reacts as a reminder. So your salt is your safety valve to protect Klai Yisrael while we're sitting there waiting for the hawitzi. Because sitting there quiet. Because the Sultan of Jemima is saying, what is it? Quietly, talk and learning. The Sultan wasn't such a big mouth. He says, Mikra, then it's much of a talk. So how can I talk and learning? So it's a Kitrik and Shemaya. So the salt protects us. Okay. That's what the Shabur brings us down. So comes along the Nadir Yehuda and says, Mamish people are really strange. Where Halacha said it's awesome to talk, they talk. Where Halacha says, what do they talk? They don't talk. That's his horror. Okay, now, let's understand this idea that the Nadir Behuda is saying that we're making the bracha after the mitzvah, where there's a lot of hefsek between the mitzvah and the bracha. Because Tosfos continues, Tosfos says, you know, by the Tilsa Dayim, there's another argument. My first argument is that this is one of the exceptions. You're allowed to say the bracha afterwards, because there are scenarios where you can't say the bracha beforehand. Your hands are actually not clean. So therefore, in that situation, you could only say the bracha afterwards. So in all scenarios, we allow the bracha afterwards. So you know what? There's another story. Another point to the story. What is that? Because there's a lot of niguf. If you dry your hands. So the mitzvah is washing and drying. So as long as I make the bracha before I dry my hands, that's called making it before I've done the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is not considered. The halacha is a person washes his hands and does not dry them. They consider the bracha, the lechem is tameh. So means you didn't really accomplish anything yet just by washing. You must dry. So I'm not making the bracha after the mitzvah. I'm making the bracha before the mitzvah, before I dry my hands. So therefore, Tosfos says you should be careful. Wash your hands, make the bracha, and then dry. Don't dry while you're making the bracha. Because then you're back to this problem. You're making the bracha before after the mitzvah. So you have to wash your hands, make the bracha, and then dry. Now, also, I have another reason you shouldn't be drying while you're making the bracha, because you're not supposed to do anything while you're making the bracha. So Tosfos suggests that the reason why we make the bracha afterwards is not really afterwards. It's really beforehand. How is it beforehand? It's before the drying. It says, we could argue you can make the bracha afterwards before you dry your hands, because it says, okay. Now, comes the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Nun Ches and says, this halacha that you have to dry your hands, otherwise it's lechem tameh. What's the scenario? And what's the question? Usually, we see from Chazal, they used to wash their hands with less than a revius of water. Less than a revius of water, the water becomes tameh. So that's true. If you don't dry your hands, the water which is tameh in your hands is going to make the bread tameh. But let's say you wash your hands with revius. Revius, the water does not become tameh. So where's the tumah over here? Your hands are tore, the water's tore. So what's the problem? So Beis Yosef says, in a case where you wash your hands with revius, you're not going to dry your hands. So The Mishnah Berurah brings this, but he brings that the Marshal, one of the early Achronim of the Marshal, disagrees. He says, when you touch the bread with wet hands, it makes the bread not become like, you know, icky, etc. And people are going to feel repulsed by the bread, and that's a waste of bread, and that's also. And that's, so you have to, even when you wash the levius, you must dry your hands. Okay, now, based on that, so you have an interesting question. So what would be a situation where a person washed their hands, spoke, before they made the bracha? Okay, so let's talk it through. So, if the halacha of the bracha afterwards, like Tosfos first pshat, is based on bracha with mitzvah, not because of the drying, so it's too late. You're a master between the mitzvah and the bracha. You're done. You can't make it a bracha. You can't make it a bracha. If, however, it's based on the idea of drying your hands, so I didn't dry yet. So I still can make the bracha because it's before, right? But even according to that argument, I wash with the revius. So according to Beis Yosef, I don't have to dry my hands. So I can't argue that I'm making a bracha based on the drying because I don't have to dry even. There's no mitzvah to dry. Mm-hmm. According to the Marshal, that I have a key to dry, so maybe that's true. So the Mishnah Berurah in the Siman number 4 says that which we make the bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch has a very interesting language. Before a cut in the tefillah, the Shulchan Aruch starts off with that you make the bracha before you wash your hands. Everybody do that? No, neither of us. Shulchan Aruch says Yosef. But no, even though you make it beforehand, but the minhag is to do it afterwards, because sometimes your hands aren't clean, therefore we always make the bracha afterwards. Okay. Then the Rambam adds, well, there's a lot of drying your hands. So it's called Avodas Yosef because of the. Okay, now the Shulchan Aruch says, when you make the bracha, you wash your hands once in each hand. You make the bracha while it's your dime, and then you pour a second time, you rub your hands together, and you dry your hands. That's how the Shulchan Aruch passes when you make the bracha. Well, I imagine starting to do that. I don't know, I haven't seen that, but I'm starting to. Okay. But the Maisa, the Minhag Olam and Shabur says is not like this. The Minhag is to make it afterwards. And he brings the Ramah that you're allowed to say it afterwards because you have to dry your hands. Well, what would be in the case you wash the revius? So the Mishnah Berurah says, even though you wash the revius, according to the Makabre, you don't have to dry your hands. Kamakam loy plug. So the Ramah says, loy plug. So now, halacha lemaisa. So Rav Osner said, in the case where a person washes hands and spoke before he made the bracha, he loses the bracha. He can't make a bracha anymore. That's Rav Osner, that's Al's psak. So I found, and that in Rav Moshe Shernbuch Shlita, Halden and Hamel Chaim, also says the same. He brings from the Groh said that the correct Eitzah to make humans without a bracha is not a good thing. Is to actually be metama your yadayim and start over again. Now I think it's very bechidish, because here that's if your hands are totally clean. So bringing metama your hands and making start over again is like a bracha shel tzricha. I have no need to make this bracha. I have no need to do this mitzvah anymore. It's done. So you don't really understand that. But I found in the Sefer Avna Yoshvei, that he brings, and not everybody gets another Behuda, that, and he argues, even according to the Shulchan Aruch, that you don't have to dry your hands. You could argue this little plug that he says. So nearly, in Hisika, if you were a mafsik, you still make the bracha. He holds. So you can make the bracha. He says, "Rabbi Yashar agrees with him." Then he says, okay, let's talk about the other scenario which we mentioned, woman who lights neiros. Woman lights neiros. And before she makes the bracha, so what do? We say like this, you know, you can't make the bracha beforehand because of this potential issue of being mekabel Shabbos. You make the bracha after the mitzvah, that's weird. You can't do bracha after the mitzvah. So what the woman does is she covers her face. And since the main purpose of the mitzvah halakas neiros is not the actual halakha, but the idea of having neiros in your home, so she doesn't allow herself to actually benefit from the light until after she makes the bracha. So she's blocking the light. That's why a woman covers her face.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of some Kabbalistic idea. Right? Simply, she should not benefit from the light. She makes the bracha, and then she opens her eyes and benefits from the light. So she is, in a certain sense, doing it before the mitzvah, because the mitzvah really is over here, not the action, but the result.
Mm-hmm.
That's our minute. So Riyasha says in that situation, even though she spoke, since it's still before the mitzvah, i.e. the benefit of the light, you can make a bracha. And that's what he suggested. So, but I think it's a very interesting point. It's not very well known. We tested it out on you, right? And I asked you a lot of talk between before Hamoitzi, after you wash your hands, and you said no, because that's what most people assume. Right? If I asked you, you're allowed to talk while you're washing your hands, you would have said yes, because what's the problem? Right? So, Baruch Hashem, we passed the test. Another Yehuda says that you're normal.